Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
Hi, how's everybody doing today? It's great to be here with you, Ralph and Anna. Sorry, it's hard for me to always say Mr. and Mrs., but I know that there's kids out there from all over the world. So thank you very much for joining us. Just happy to be here. I'm in, just FYI, for your information, I'm in Houston, Texas, in our astronaut office conference room. So you can see all the patches behind me of a bunch of the space shuttle missions. Right across from me are all the Apollo missions, and on my left is all the space station missions. So it's a pretty neat place to be, and I wanted to share it with everybody.
So we just wanted to know, could you talk to the kids a little bit about your background as far as how you got into the sciences?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for the question. So like you mentioned already, I was in the Navy, but how I got there wasn't quite straightforward. It wasn't my first choice when I was in junior high and high school. I loved animals, and my father was a doctor. So I thought, you know, my goal was to be a veterinarian. That seemed comfortable to me. We always had animals. However, you know, when I went through school, I did pretty good at school. I was interested in a lot of things. Science of course, was interesting. Math came easy to me, but I also loved reading, and I read a lot of books, and my grades were pretty good. So I'm finishing high school, and I'm applying to colleges. And lo and behold, I didn't get into the colleges that I thought that I had to go to pursue that career as a veterinarian. And I didn't really know what to do. I was a little distressed at 17, like, what am I going to do with my life? I had this plan and it's not going to happen. And so in the meantime, my brother had went to the Naval Academy, and he said, Sonny, you know, you like doing outdoors things. You like being part of a team. Why don't you apply? And I applied, and I actually got in. And I thought to myself, well, at least this will be a good stepping stone to do whatever I'm going to do next, because I don't know what they do in the military. It's not my family's background. My dad came over, immigrated from India, and my mom came from a blue-collar family in Ohio, and the military was not in our background. So I didn't know what I was getting into. I had long hair, and like I mentioned, I loved animals, and I was a swimmer. So I went there. I got my hair cut off. I wasn't going to be a veterinarian, but at least I got to swim. All that to say, at the end of your time at the Naval Academy, we pick what we're going to do in the military by our class rank. Of course, I said I was a swimmer and I wanted to be a diver because it was easy. It was something I was comfortable with. But that billet got taken because I wasn't at the very top. I was somewhere right in the middle of our class, and somebody had already taken the diving billet. So at the time, the movie Top Gun came out, and they were flying jets. I thought that would be cool. So I said, okay, I'll go to flight school. I'd never flown an airplane before. I was pretty scared to death. Of course, I'd been on a big airplane, but I didn't know what a little airplane was going to be like. I didn't know what doing loops or doing instrument flight rules would be like. But I got in there and, you know, put my head down and studied hard. Wanted to be a jet pilot, but that billet, again, was not available. I got helicopters. Again, never flew a helicopter in my life before. Didn't know what hovering was going to be like, but I figured it out. I had great instructors, great mentors, and it is awesome. Flying a helicopter was like the most fun thing I had ever done in my life. And I got to fly off of ships at sea, which was really fun and challenging. But at like the age of 24, I was in charge of a helicopter. And by the age of 26, I was in charge of a detachment of helicopters and people. And it felt right because I took those challenges that I had never done, and it was fine. I was really interested in how the helicopter flew. All of a sudden, that engineering part of my brain kicked in and said, like, how does this work? And so people recommended to me, hey, why don't you go to test pilot school? And they would teach you all of that, and you would understand it and how to maybe make a helicopter even better. And so I did that. And at the as part of that curriculum, we came to here where I am right now in this very room, to Johnson Space Center. And I met John Young, who taught, who was the first guy to fly the space shuttle and had gone to the moon. And he told us that he had to learn how to fly a helicopter type vehicle to land on the moon. So I thought, oh, maybe I have the right stuff. Finally, it seemed like something fit that I really had. And I decided I would apply to the astronaut office, figured out what I had to do. Took a rejection letter. The first time around I applied, but the second time around I got my master's degree, and I had done some more things in my military career and then got in. So the path was not very straight for me. Doesn't mean it's not straight for other people. Other people have had that goal and just pursued it and got it. But for me, and it's okay to try things that you've never tried before and maybe be successful, maybe fail, maybe open another door. So, I mean, I think that's what I found, which was really rewarding, was like seeing that there are opportunities out there that I never even imagined when I was growing up. So you guys have so much in front of you, in particular, going back to the moon. I can't wait for the Artemis program to kick in, and your generation is going to be all over that.
We're definitely sitting on the edges of our seats for the Artemis mission. And would you mind if the students asked you some questions? Because we know that you have allocated time. So we have a question from one of our friends in Italy. This is Mev. Mev, I'm going to unmute you. You had a great question for Sunny. Go ahead and ask it.
Thank you. Such a pleasure to meet you. And my question is, you stop at nothing. And as a multitasking woman, you have practiced triathlon in space. What do you suggest to us as future women?
Oh, wow. So, you know, I'm so glad I had the first question. Thank you, Ralph, because I hope you know that things are not always going to be simple. They're going to be a little bit difficult, but you got to try stuff. You know, my biggest word of advice is go out and try stuff, even if you're not sure if you'll like it or not like it, but that's, you're at the age that this is the best opportunity. See if you like engineering, see if you like robotics, see if you like science, see if you like math, see if you like theater, and see if you like, reporting, whatever the field, see if you like teaching. Whatever the field may be that you feel comfortable with, you'll do it well. That's my biggest advice. I didn't know that I would love flying helicopters. I loved it. And subsequently, I got all of my qualifications and had a good reputation in the helicopter community. But when I was 17, I had no idea that that would be my true love. So for space flying, for example, I didn't know what spacewalking was going to be like. And how do you know until you actually like come here and try it out? But the spacesuit just felt good on me, and doing spacewalks felt natural. But I didn't know that. I had to take that chance, take that little extra step, be uncomfortable for a little while until I learned all about what I needed to do. And that's part of that journey too, is really trying to understand this something that might be a little fearful. And then some of that fear sort of dissipates and it goes away because you understand it and you've made calculated decisions and choices based on that knowledge that you have, and then putting it into practical application. So, at this age, I'm a little older than you. At this age, I'm not afraid of too much stuff except for the dark sometimes at night when I'm in the house alone. But I'm not afraid of challenges, because I know I will try, I'll give it my best shot, and it will be as it is. And some things I'm good at, and some things, of course, I'm not good at. And I know that. And it's good to recognize that in yourself and really capitalize on the things that you find that you love, and then obviously you will be good at.
We have a question from Shaudette in Paris. She wanted to know, how is being a woman in a professional activity traditionally supported by men? Like, what was your experience?
Oh, very good question. I've been doing this for a little while. Like I mentioned, even college was a little bit about 10 men to one woman when I was going through, and I sort of had to get used to it right from the get-go. But everybody has a role, everybody has a place, everybody brings something to the table. And you know the thing that you're doing at the time, whether or not for me it was being part of my company at the Naval Academy, trying to do a joint accomplishment there, or being part of a swim team, you know, who's trying to, the team is trying to win over another team, or being part of a helicopter team. You know, you have a couple of pilots up there, and then you also have some crew members are in the back, or being part of a space shuttle crew, or being part of the space station crew, or being part of a, you and your partner on a spacewalk. You know, you have a place, you have a role in all of those things. And, you know, you have to make yourself as best as you can to be that person that is fulfilling that role. An example, like going back to the things I just mentioned, I had to, you know, tell myself a couple times, you know, the helicopter doesn't know that I'm a girl or if I'm a boy, right? So the helicopter doesn't know, it just needs to be flown by somebody. And I'm that somebody today, so I'm going to fly it. You know, the space shuttle doesn't know if you're a girl or a boy. The, you know, the space station doesn't know, the suit doesn't know. You know, you just get in there and you have to just do your job. And so, you know, making yourself, like in the first question, making sure you know all the things that you need to know. And part of that is maybe physically making yourself prepared for it, making sure you're in good shape, you're as strong as you can be, so you can take on those tasks and do those things that the guys are going to do. And, you know, it's not always going to be comfortable. There's going to be some times where there's going to be some times where the guys obviously get together, but you have to just have confidence and be comfortable with yourself that you're being part of that team and you're adding to that team. So yeah, it hasn't always been comfortable. I guarantee you, if you feel that way, sometimes you're not alone. But remember, you know, you bring a lot to the table, but you have to prepare yourself and then you'll bring a lot to the table.
It's great, great sound advice. We have a question from Sarah in Spain. Sarah, you had an awesome question. I'm unmuting you. Go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, it's a pleasure to meet you. And my question is, what's the best thing of being an astronaut?
Oh, it's fun. You know, I think it's just really, really fun. You know, of course, people say, oh, you fly in space a lot. But actually, I've been here quite some time, for as long as you guys probably have been alive, 20 years. And so there's not all, it's not always that you're flying in space, but you're working with the people around you from all over the world. I am so lucky to have been working with people from, of course, Canada, Japan, Europe, and Russia as we work for building the International Space Station and living on the International Space Station and learning all about other people's cultures and languages. That's been really rewarding. And then, of course, flying in space is just awesome. I mean, what do you want me to say? You fly around like a bird, or you know, like a fish, and you look out the window and there's the planet below you. I mean, it's just spectacular. It's amazing. It really puts things in perspective, and it makes you realize that we're part of this big planet. You know, I emphasize the international part because it's like we are all brothers and sisters from all over the world, and it really puts that in perspective. And then I think the third part is coming back with that experience and sharing it with people like yourselves who I know are going to take my place and be, you know, do bigger and better things, you know that, you know, we're part of a little foundation that's you guys are going to build on and make things just amazingly great. I see so many young engineers who work here at Johnson Space Center and they're doing spectacular, amazing things. I mean, we are putting together this new program, Artemis. If you're following, we're landing on an asteroid and taking samples just the other day. I mean, this is what people are doing. This is cool. So when the normal job sort of gets you down, like the normal day when you're doing homework gets you down, sometimes you just got to pinch yourself and say, like, this is so cool. We're doing so many amazing things right now. And for you guys, you can be part of it. It's worldwide and it's for kids to participate in. You know, we're doing experiments up there that college students, high school students have sent up because you're curious and you look at things from a different perspective, and we want to share all that with you. So it's a great job. So I hope you guys are thinking about it in the future.
We're definitely going to be following everything you guys are up to with Artemis. I mean, it's absolutely astounding. And the future, near future, with the amazing stuff they're doing at NASA, everyone who's on here from all over the world, you know, check it out. We have is it okay if we do about 10 more minutes of questions?
Then we'll, absolutely.
Okay, because we have a lot of questions from kids all over the world. We have Ariana here in the United States. Ariana, I'm going to go ahead and unmute yourself. You had a great question. Go ahead. We should be able to hear you. You might need to be a little bit louder, friend.
What if you're not good at one subject?
Oh, great question. What if you're not good at one subject? You know, that's okay. I'll tell you, I'll be totally honest with you. You know, you've got a couple teachers online who could probably vouch for the same thing. You know, nobody is good at everything. I guarantee you. I mean, it's rare. It's very rare. Maybe somebody is, one or two people, whatever. But not the majority of us are not good at everything. You know, it's the place where you know that you have to maybe concentrate a little harder or work a little harder. I, for example, was a little swallowed up in college with a lot of engineering classes at once. And I will remember a class of dynamics, which is a little engineering class where things start to move and you need to use equations to figure out how those things are moving and what imbalance the forces. And I just couldn't get it. I had such a hard time with this class. At one point in time at the Naval Academy, I'll be honest with you guys, I think I had like 5 A's and 1 F. So I had to redo that class. And that was okay though. I had to understand that, like, you know, this is something that's really difficult for me. So I really got to buckle down here and try to understand it. And then, you know, sometimes things maybe overall, you may just not get it, and that's okay. I think in my field today, what I value really is the people around me. Somebody else probably gets it. And so I could find that person, knowing people around you, knowing what they're good at and what their strong points are, and knowing what other people's weak points are, you can build a team by working those people together. And I know that, you know, for example, the guy I'm gonna fly with in the future, Josh, he's really good at details. I will rely on Josh for all the details. I'm flying with Jeanette Epps, Dr. Epps. She's great at physics and she's great with people. I will rely on her for those things, because both of those things I just mentioned are not my forte. But I know how to fly the spacecraft. So you know, you build the team by knowing what your strong points are and what your weak points are, but you have to try to understand yourself what your strong points and weak points are.
Some sound advice. We have a couple of final questions. Here's Martina in Italy. Martina, you had an awesome question. You're unmuted, go ahead and ask.
And first, thank you so much. I wanted to ask you if there are a lot of gender inequalities in your field as an astronaut.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I've seen it internationally, I'll say that. It's a funny question, because around the world, women's acceptability in these types of STEM fields is not the same. It's strange and surprising, I think, but around the world, we see different levels of it. And I think honestly, sure, it's out there, but you know, like I mentioned in the other question, you know, you just gotta put your head down and work through that. I've seen other cultures who are a little surprised to see that there are so many women in the US astronaut program, particularly, you know, Peggy Whitson and myself, who have been commanders for the International Space Station. They're a little bit surprised by that, but I'm not gonna let that bother me. I'm not gonna let that change the way I am. You know, I have confidence in the experience I have, and I press ahead and I'm professional with these people who are a little bit surprised by it. So on a, you know, on a managerial or leadership level, I think that's how you handle it. On a technical personal level, sort of like I mentioned already, you just need to make sure you know everything about the subject or the thing that you're going to do, be it a spacewalk, be it fly a helicopter, be it, you know, a news reporter or a teacher. You know, you be the best that you can be, and then what is anybody going to say about it? It doesn't matter. You know, you're living your life, and you're doing your dream, and you know, don't let anyone stop you.
So we have one
One of the last questions is from Kamalpreet in Italy. Kamalpreet, I'm unmuting you. You should be able to ask your question. You had a really nice question.
Hi, I'm very happy to have this chance to talk with you. My question is, once you became an astronaut, how does your life change?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is that's a super good question. Wow. You know, you think it's not going to change, right? But of course it does change. You know, my husband has been very supportive because he realizes and he recognizes that, you know, I sort of have a little bit bigger job and duty rather than just going to work and coming back home and that's it. For example, I'm here with you on a Saturday, which I absolutely love, and I'm so honored to actually have been asked to do this. So thank you so much. Don't get me wrong, but you know, it's not a normal job, right? Your normal job, maybe you would have the whole weekend off. And I think what I have recognized through this job is that we all actually have a responsibility to the rest of humanity. But some jobs emphasize it a little bit more, like this one. We all have a responsibility to be a good, nice person who's helping other people. This job sort of puts it in your face a little bit because, you know, part of the thing that our charter at NASA is to inspire the next generation and really help the next generation come up and be the explorers, because we're not done exploring. We have a lot more to invent. We have a lot more to explore. And we're foolish if we think as a species that we've done everything. We need to keep pressing on. So we need to do that for the next generation. So that's not necessarily only an astronaut thing. However, as an astronaut, I feel like it's been emphasized just because we've been put on the top of that little, you know, that pedestal there is sort of like a little bit of a beacon, or the guy in the blue flight suit, you know. But there's, for example, just at NASA, thousands of people who are working to get us to space, you know, all over the world, every space agency to put humans in space. It's huge. And we are representing all of those people and all that hard work that they do. Like, I might get to the International Space Station, for example, and have a timeline that's filled with, you know, do robotics, use the robotic arm to grab a vehicle, get ready for a spacewalk. And then there's this half an hour of an experiment. And that experiment might be the 10 years of some scientist's life that they put together to get that thing in space. We need to recognize that is part of a bigger thing, and really take that experiment, be very, very careful with it. So I guess that just as an example of what I'm saying is, like, we all have a responsibility as humans to treat each other nicely, with respect, listen to each other, and trade off those ideas. And that's going to keep us exploring and inventing, you know, the thing that's in our human heart.
So I'll let our final question, Andrea, one of our students in Mexico, has an awesome question. I actually wanted to ask this question, but I'll let Andrea ask it. Andrea, I'm unmuting you. You had an awesome question. Can you ask it to Sunny for our final question?
Hi, thanks a lot. It's a pleasure, really. I admire you a lot. So what would your advice be when you have a dream so, so big that it seems like it is too big for you to make it happen?
Gosh, that's a really, really good question. I'm not positive if, I read the book, The Martian, and you guys maybe have seen the movie, The Martian. If you haven't, I would suggest it, because it's, one, it's just really fun and motivating. And two, it actually, there's parts of it that are probably the plan that we're going to pursue in the future when we actually go to the red planet. But one of the things that they talk about, you know, the end of the book or the end of the movie, is, you know, when you have a big problem, how do you solve it? It just seems like there's no way. I'm just going to forget it. I'm going to roll over and go back to bed. But you know what? You can solve it. But you probably have to solve it a little piece by a little piece by a little piece, and try to, in your mind or on paper, write it down, organize it, and take it step by step by step. You know, I wasn't, you know, born and then went to high school and then became an astronaut. There was that I mentioned in the beginning. There was many steps along the way to get to be able to do this job. And any job is the same way. There's many steps along the way that you need to take to be able to do that. And along the way is actually really cool. So don't lose track of that too. The whole path, if you stop and look around and watch your path as you're becoming an engineer, a teacher, a scientist, the people you encounter, the things you learn along the way are just amazing. But it takes all of those steps to actually reach that bigger goal. I was lucky, I think I didn't really believe in the goal when I was your age, so I wasn't disappointed by maybe not getting there right away. I didn't think that I would become an astronaut. There's just no way in my life I thought that was going to happen. But I took all those little baby steps. As I saw another door open, I said, oh, I try this. Oh, I'll try that. And I think that's how you solve the bigger problems. So if you already at your age have the big goal and you know what you want to do, oh, wow, more power to you. You know, you've started down a path and you probably can at least Google it, if not know people who have done those things and find out what that path is and start chipping away at it. I know it's going to happen.
Thank you so much, Sunny. From all of us here in Nevada and Florida and Mexico and Spain and Italy and France and all over the world.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.